I'm speaking into the wrong side of the microphone. I'm like, why are my squiggles so little?
Love that.
There they are. Now they're normal size.
Okay. You want to start the episode? Was that a test?
That was just, it's not a test. We don't have to do tests because we didn't change anything since last night.
Hi.
Hi.
You come to us live at 2 p.m. on Friday.
We recorded our Trespasser episode at around 7 p.m. on Thursday. Just so everyone's aware of the situation.
Yeah. We already knew.
Yeah.
Because you said, as soon as I'm done with this episode, I'm playing the Veil Guard.
Yeah.
So we started it last night. We played to what we think is chapter one today.
And we played actually a little bit past chapter one, but not too much. So we figure we've done a prologue episode for every single game.
Yeah,
we should do one for this one.
And then we're going to, and we needed to record this now because then we're going
to
go back. Because
I have to keep playing.
And we're going to play.
Yes.
Chapter two. And who knows, maybe we'll record chapter two tomorrow.
Just gonna... It might be. Honestly, banking some episodes while you're here is also not a bad idea.
There you go. I'm sorry for everyone who is excited to play along with us. You won't be.
You will be. You will be. Because as the episodes come out is canon.
That's playing along with
That's
us.
That's playing along with us. Yeah. So... let's not.
But there is not a 0% chance that on the 20th, when I go back to Toronto, we will have finished the game.
Possibly.
That's in 10 days. There's a non-0% chance.
It could be. It could be. It could be. It could be. We'll see. We'll see. So.
Hi. Oh, shit. Okay. I guess. Hi, my name is Robin. I have played every Dragon Age game. Except for the Veil Guard?
Hi, my name's Dylan. I have played every Dragon Age game except for the Veil Guard. This is Dorkspawn, a Dragon Age book club podcast where me and my best friend are playing the Dragon Age series, which is one of my favorite things in the world, chapter by chapter, and discussing it like a little book club.
Yeah. Well, we've done what the original challenge, the point of this podcast originally was to play all of them so we could play the Veil Guard.
Yeah.
And now we've done that.
We've
and
done
we
that.
Currently playing the Veil Guard.
We followed through on a thing and we finished it.
Which is crazy.
That's wild.
We don't do that ever.
We don't.
Or you do, maybe.
I do sometimes, but in short bursts. This was like a long project
this
that
was,
we did.
Yeah,
six months. We've been doing this. So now, we are going to be playing the Veil Guard. We started the Veil Guard last night when it finished downloading for me, which was about midnight 30.
Yeah.
And now we're playing again today. We've played through the prologue officially. So tell me about your rook, Robin.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew what I wanted my rook to be a while ago.
Okay.
And I did go a little bit back and forth on it. But halfway through Inquisition, I was like, I've not played a dwarf. I want to be a dwarf. I want to be
exciting.
A dwarf who's so fucking sick of this magic nonsense and is here to... beat the ass of that bald egg who's making magic.
Love it.
All this stupid shit.
Good.
I didn't realize it could be a Qunari. So I was like, ooh, maybe I'd be a Qunari.
Oh, I heard you kind of grumbling about that. Yeah.
It's mainly because I couldn't find a good look for my guy. And I couldn't get the look right. So I was bouncing between them. But then I did settle on a dwarf warrior called Merrick.
Love that.
He's got a big scar on the right side of his face that has blinded him in one eye. And it was from magic. I had him. He's from Ozamar. I kind of wanted him to be castless.
Love that.
So he just kind of under King Harrowmont's rule. Left because everything is really bad there at the minute. And left because the person who put King Harrowmont, the worst person in the world, in charge, was a mage. And
yeah.
Now the world is ending because of a mage.
Kind of love that, actually.
Doing all this bad stuff. Not doing all this bad stuff, sorry. In an attempt to get out of Ozamar, had to do a lot of bad shit, got himself in a lot of trouble, and unfortunately for him, had to join the Grey Wardens.
You're playing a Grey Warden! Hell baby. Yeah, buddy! Yeah.
So Merrick Thorne is my guy's name. Yeah, he's a... And I was still a little unsold on him until I got the, like, it's like voice one and deep, and he sounds so fucking sick, and like the first cutscene with him, like brawling, I've decided he's also a grumpy guy. He's like,
love that.
He's like a pissed off dwarf. Anytime, almost, it's almost a Florence themed where it's like, he's pissed off with everyone all the time, except for a close few. But the close few, so for example, Nev, who joins us, is a mage. So he's always doing the angry options with her because I don't have any time for this fucking magic shit.
Bullshit, yeah.
But then the other two people who you start with is Harding, the most beautiful woman in the world, and... Varric, both of whom are dwarves, therefore huge respect.
Yeah,
they're my guys.
Easy.
Yeah, yeah. That's my boy. Tell me about yours, because I have some general thoughts about character creator that I'm going to Dragon Age 2 this. I'm coming in a little hot and a little like there are game choices that I'm already questioning the fidelity of.
Oh, I'm a little grumpy about a couple of things already.
Beautiful. Tell me about your rook.
All right. So my rook, Dinan DeRiva, is an elven.
Fucking knew it. As soon as I saw the Antivan Crows as a choice.
Antivan Crows. I had said last night, I said that the Antivan Crows showing up was one of my like biggest wishes.
Yeah.
I needed them to be a part of it. And when I saw them, the thing that I was a little bit torn on was to make it, I believe it was the Shadow Dragons, the ones that specifically fight slavery and Tevinter.
Yeah.
I was a little bit torn on whether or not I wanted to be that kind of a character, which I only... just barely decided because I really do like the Antivan Crows. That's and I
your,
wanted to
the
play.
The Antivan Crows are your favorite faction.
It's like one of my favorite things. Yeah. And also I wanted to play a thing that we have heard of before, which is a thing that does annoy me about this series, is that they don't invest enough, I think, in like the things that they've already come up with, and they keep adding new shit without like carrying over enough. So like the fact that the Antivan Crows and the Grey Wardens are in there did make me happy. Went with the Antivan Crows. I have not played an elf yet in this run.
Wow, no.
Even though elves are my favorite. I was a dwarf, human, Qunari.
Oh, shit.
Was my run.
Oh, and then now elf.
And
oh,
now elf. Course, yeah. So now I'm an elf. He is... he's hot. he's really hot. He's super hot. He's got Valisleen and tattoos everywhere. And I'm playing him a little bit of like a Purple Hawk kind of sarcastic. But he got in trouble with the Antivan Crows. He's first of all, the name Dinan means death in Elven. And so he is like born to be assassin. But he was supposed to assassinate some people and didn't because he was trying to – he got a little bit – of a heartstring pull and wanted to save some people. And he let a missive from the Antivan Crows go to waste in service of that. So he's kind of in trouble with the crows at the minute. And so he now is like this murderer with like a secret heart of gold. Like he's not gonna be nice, and he's not gonna be charming to everybody, but he is gonna do the right thing when it comes down to it kind of guy.
Yeah.
So he's been real sarcastic so far, like real biting about everything. Doesn't know or care who Solas is. Varric keeps telling him that he's apparently got some redeemable qualities, but that is,
yeah,
whatever you say, buddy. Yeah. And Varric tried to talk to him and got his ass kicked, which is crazy because Varric is an old sweet man.
Leave my grandfather alone. Yeah. How dare you?
You're gonna kick my grandfather's ass and leave me with nothing but a tin type to remember him by? You Solas, you monster. Can't believe it. So the game starts out, we are looking for
character creator stuff.
Oh, character creator stuff, yeah.
So minor, truly is nothing. But it's the thing that we have already talked about on the show about the fact that you can romance anyone and everyone is everyone's type, which we have a problem with.
Yeah.
It's so small. Just slightly the same thing when it comes to backgrounds.
Yeah.
Anyone could be anything. I was like, well, I'm a dwarf. I don't feel like I should be able to be in the magic group where all the magic happens. I feel like that shouldn't be allowed.
Story purpose it away, but I don't feel like they are. I feel like they're just...
I think it's just anyone could be anything. And that's fine. I think it fleshes the world out more when you can't do certain
when
stuff.
You have... Having restrictions on things makes a world more interesting.
Yeah.
Not less.
Yeah.
And
that's it. It's so very minor. I still like the fact that dwarves can't cast magic. Because that's an old hat thing in the thing.
Yeah.
I'm
so sorry.
It's okay. You know, we're both excited to talk about the game. You haven't done this game before.
I know. But you finish your sentence though, because I interrupted you.
That's it. It's like, I know that if this was a new game, then dwarves would be able to do magic. And like they would allow that to be a thing. The only reason why it's continuing that dwarves can't is because
part of the lore is that, and then like that is an interesting part of what I assume is going to happen in this game. I think that something to do with dwarves.
I think so.
Getting
after the
magic.
Descent,
the
descent's whole thing is like
is that the song, you know, speaks to the dwarves and that the dwarves have the stone is real.
Yeah, and they can, in under circumstances, do magic.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And I imagine that is going to be a storyline.
So it's an interesting part, and I wish they didn't. There's no reason to hand wave those things.
I also got weirdly, even though we just finished it yesterday. I mean, technically, I finished it a little while ago because I couldn't play Helwyn in the in Trespasser.
Yeah,
I did get a little emotional making Helwyn. That was fun. Yeah, that was a cool little bit. And then doing my three choices. The only things that matter.
That's fine, I guess. I find it a little weird. I find some of the choices that are missing to be totally fine.
Yeah.
I don't think that you need most of them. Most of the choices in Dragon Age games have a bigger effect on your epilogue as a protagonist than they do on the world at large. So that makes sense. But there are a few that I'm like,
why isn't it there?
Like, who the divine is?
Who the divine is crazy, because it is I feel like that's a little weird. Because I know, we talked about this, where it's like, well, she's not going to appear. It's like, no, but she is the divine.
Yeah.
And we should at least reference her.
And not even reference her, but like, who the divine is has a big impact on what is happening in like the global politic of it all.
Yeah.
Because Liliana does different things than Cassandra or Vivienne. So that's curious to me.
And they don't care. They don't want to reference it at all, clearly. But it's like, you know what I would be okay with?
What?
Lie to me. Say that it matters and never bring it up.
Yeah.
I would prefer that than just to actively be like, oh, by the way, nothing you did matters.
The other one that I think should matter, because, okay, fine, we can hand wave that that's Ferelden and we're not in Ferelden, and that is fine. The Chargers and the decision you make with whether or not the Inquisition partners with the Canary and the Chargers feels like that one should be important, because we are close to that area of the world. Sure. We're in Tevinter, which is like on the border of Saharan and stuff. Like we're in that region.
Yeah.
So that politics and things just like having to do with that might feel a little bit more consequential to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel a certain type of way about it. I feel a little bit miffed. I am sure that they will, that the game will be good regardless. But right off the bat, I'm feeling a little bit like I'm not the target audience for this game as a Dragon Age fan, which is a weird thing to feel.
The thing is that they said, oh, we want this to be accessible for everyone, which is great.
And it is great.
Huge, absolutely. This game is a direct sequel to a game that came out 10 years ago. And it's like, so a little, even if it was just things that mattered in Inquisition, I feel like you do need to.
Yeah. And they already have, the same as Inquisition did, they have a default world state where you don't have to change any of those choices and you just get to go with what they've put together.
Yeah.
Which is, so, I mean, because the first time I played Inquisition, I had skipped two. And like, there's a lot there.
Crazy choice, by the way.
Well, I was unduly influenced by the internet's opinion of two, which was a bad one, which is why I'm, as much as I feel a little bit grumpy at the minute, I'm trying to hold my grumpiness a little bit.
I am also trying, because let's get on with the game.
Okay.
Let's get on with actually talking about the game.
Well, hold on. There's one more character creator thing I'm bringing up now, and I'm putting a pin in it in the hopes that I'm wrong about what this indicates, because there's also a gender identity selection in there where you pick your pronouns and you pick your gender identity. And next to picking your pronouns, it's like, this is going to affect how people refer to you. So for Dinan, I picked he, him pronouns. Mm-hmm. For gender identity, I picked non-binary, but there's a little thing that pops up and it's like, this won't affect gameplay. And I was like, I wonder, because I've heard that that does come up.
Sure.
Somewhere in this game,
yeah,
and I'm wondering,
well, not affect gameplay and not affect story are two different things,
possibly. Sure,
because people say if it's like the male female body types, people are like, old games it would actually affect, because
sure,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's yeah,
okay. I'm just curious
gameplay and story are different.
Well, that I know, but I'm just curious how it manifests.
Yeah,
no,
I know that you know that.
Okay, so that's that. So the game,
Merrick, by the way, is obviously non-binary, because I can't play anyone. If I have the they/them option, I'm like, yes,
yeah.
I'm putting them as that. So we start with our beautiful boy Varric giving us a delicious little intro. I love him so much. He's my
most narrator of all time.
Oh my god, I'm immediately going back to just like the most minor thing. My man is the Viscount of Kirkwall. What is he doing here? Reference it a little bit. He's no longer a dashing rogue. He's always the Viscount, right? Does he always turn out to be the Viscount of Kirkwall?
Yes. I think, though,
I think it's,
I don't know how, I forgot to look how many years it's been since eight. So
he could, of course, no longer be the Viscount, and I'm sure it will absolutely.
It might be referenced. Yeah. It might be referenced.
It was just one of the things where he was running around. I was like, already? Bruh, don't you have a city to run? Don't you have your home city, the greatest city in the world to run?
I'm kind of assuming that he did and was working with the disbanded Inquisition for a while, and then when we figured out that Solas was about to do the ritual, it was like, all right, I gotta bounce.
I gotta fucking go.
I gotta go.
So we get a little brief rundown on all the things. Solas is the Dreadwolf, Fenharal. He's doing this whole ritual to take down the veil and then destroy our world as we know it. Old friend of the Inquisition, he has been... Weird little slight shift of retcon. He's been tracked to Tevinter, which is not why originally we were in Tevinter. We were originally in Tevinter because that was the only place that he has no influence, which is what was said at the end of Trespasser. But in this timeline, he's been tracked to Tevinter, so that's why we take place there. Nev Gallus, who is a detective, Varric says she's the best detective around and she is going to definitely find out where he is. However, you are there, Rook. Rook has been working with not the Inquisition, just like the Solas killers, I guess, for the past 6 months.
Yeah.
And you are supposed to meet Nev in this bar, but then you got jumped by Venatori, and you immediately have a choice.
Glad to hear that Venatori are still a thing. Again, I like it when stuff carries over, and I hate when they invent new enemies ones. And we forget who the old ones are.
Which is in the there it is. In the openings, in the starts, Grey Wardens. Oh shit. Is it Grey Wardens and Antiban Crows are the only two? Shadow Dragons existed, right?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
One, two, three, or they four
weren't,
factions.
They weren't referenced, you know, that I know of.
I like the Veil Jumpers, I like as a group. I think that's a fun thing to come up.
I think that's a fun
because of Solas.
Yes. I think that's a good new thing that makes sense in how the world has changed since the last game.
Yeah. The rest, I'm sure we'll find out. Lords of Fortune, I mean, what is it? Just pirates? I'm sure that is fine. Which was one that I was thinking about doing for Rook, but I can't resist a Grey Warden, and I was like, I'm going to fucking go with the fucking Grey Wardens. And also, if I wanted to be a grumpy guy who doesn't care about magic, I'm the most likely thing is I was like, it makes more sense for me to be a Grey Warden.
Grey Warden, absolutely.
but you're in this bar. It starts with a fight. You have two choices. You can either try to talk your way out, or you can just be like, fuck it, and just storm through them. What classy. Oh, you're a rogue. I imagine, yeah. Being my grumpy guy, I decided to fight everyone in the bar, and I had a cutscene that I thought was so sick. I was like, "Ooh, maybe this Rook is for me." Actually, where I beat the hell out of a bunch of people, and I was like, "Oh, my guy's actually it might be one of it." So we had Quinton, Grey Warden, in Origins, cool guy.
Say the thing.
Best wizard of all time.
Thank you.
Best mage ever.
Coolest guy to ever live.
Coolest guy to ever live. Who was actively. Very powerful, very cool. Then we had Florence Hawk, who was also very cool woman, like one of the most badass people ever, single-handedly took down a lot of shit because she was so tough and rough. Then you had Helwyn, not a cool lady, just a lady who was nice and kind. And now we have Rook, and I'm back to like, no, this is the coolest fucking guy to ever live.
Yeah.
This guy's fucking sick, actually.
My breakdown has been
Valeria,
who was most disgruntled woman of all time. Just like saved the world because she was so bitter, like so bitter and scorned. Did it out of spite, and essentially. And then we had Ash, who was just down on her luck the entire time, her entire life.
Yeah.
Could not catch a damn break for forever. And then presumably died in the Fade.
Oh.
After all that. We have Boss, who, you know, like was again thrust into this responsibility bigger than him and took it on just because he desperately wanted purpose. And right now, for where I'm seeing Danan, it's a... He's trying to prove himself, but, like, can't let anybody know he cares about any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to write down Danan as your character. I write down the name of
your
character.
It's D-I-apostrophe-N-A-N. God. It's Elvin.
D-I-apostrophe-N-A-N.
Yeah.
All
right. Dinan.
There we go.
There you go.
Very good. What did you pick? Did you pick Fight Through the Tavern?
No, I said, I basically threatened her, which is the talk it through option, which I liked. I took a gamble on it just to see what it was. And I was happy with what the talk it through was. It wasn't like friendly. It was like, I will kill everyone here. Why don't you just tell me?
Yeah.
And I liked that. I was like, was okay, cool. good.
I don't know what happens in your one, but in mine, you like fight through everyone. Then she tries to run away. And then Varric springs Bianca and then shoots her. And then she's like pinned to the wall. And then you like jump over the thing and you're like, so what's up?
Oh, so you chose to fight.
I kicked the hell out of everyone.
Everybody. Man. Awesome. Everybody. No, in this, I talked to her and I'm like, I will kill all these people and you. So you should just tell me where I need to go. She says so. And then she walks out and then the Venatori try to kill you anyway. And Varric comes in and shoots warning shots at them all. And then they run fleeing.
Love that. Mm-hmm. That's huge. I've just realized what I think the thing is that Merrick did that ended up getting him into the Grey Wardens. I think he just did the proving a lot and he's like a big tough guy, but then maybe something happened where he did a proving to like leave. And then they were like, oh, there was some weird politics thing where they were like, oh, well we have to execute you now actually, because you're trying to leave and you've done the proving too many times or something. And then he joins the Grey Wardens.
That's
to
fun.
Try and get out of it.
I feel like if he did the proving and he won against somebody he was not supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. Some, like, one of King Haruman's men.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a plan.
I did kind of, when I was making him, I was like, oh, I think he's going to be, like, a distant relative of my canon Valeria's thing. But then that would make him royalty and I wanted him to be castless.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's fun.
Yeah. Put something there. Anyway.
Okay.
So you fight through, then this Venatori is like, Nev is someone else. So then you go down, you like start running through the streets of the city.
Tevinter.
Nope, the city.
Oh, Minrathus.
Minrathus. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Holy gorgeous. Shit, so pretty. Yes. The giant...
This is what I wanted Orlais to look like when we went to Orlais and Inquisition. To look like this, but to be not just like...
Yeah.
Valerio is such a disappointment in Inquisition. Like, you've heard about it for two games, about how beautiful it is, and then you go there and it's like... a courtyard with three balconies.
Yeah.
And you're like, what are you talking about? This is the level of effort and city design that I wanted for Tevinter. So this is
You what, it got me so hyped because I thought we were in my dreams, we were having another Kirkwall situation. And I was like, are we spending the entire game in this city? That would be the coolest shit in the world. And then obviously you immediately leave it, which is fine.
I do think we're coming back.
I'm sure we're coming back. And again, that is fine because that's what the game is. It's about traveling through a million alluvians a second and hop skipping all over the world.
Very interesting, by the way.
Oh, I don't like that. Do you have controversial theories?
I have feelings about that.
It's just like...
We just got done hearing about how you need like immense amounts of magic to activate even one alluvian.
Yeah. I mean, it's like no, it's Origins, like... we see in Luvian for the first time ever, obviously, because it's in Origins. And Morrigan uses it, and that's a big deal because Morrigan is God, almost. It's
daughter of God, yeah.
Daughter of God. Then in two, my Meryl never figured out how to make it work.
Oh, yeah, Meryl activated one and nearly killed everyone.
Because it's a fucking crazy deal. And then we have, and then again, Morrigan comes back with another alluvian in Inquisition, but that's still a big deal because it's Morrigan doing it. And then Solas is able to do it, which is a big deal because he is God. And then now we're just kind of hop skipping through alluvians, and I'm like, oh boys, let's stop doing this, maybe.
But okay, but
But whatever. Okay. It's a thing that happens in things where it's like you kind of flanderize magic items.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, you've got that beautiful, it's not a ship, but it's the floating building in the sky that's like the prison. What's the prison thing? It's the...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The like half circle prison thing. Yeah. Where they're going, which is interesting. So we see them like trying to arrest people.
I wish they stuck on that.
For like a minute longer?
For like a minute longer, because then demons come out and then it's like, and then it's what like, okay, let's move
that?
On.
Like,
it's
like, I wanna, what the fuck is what happening? What was that? Like, tell me set the scene for me a little bit.
Yeah. But it was
I'm sure
cool.
They will come back to it probably, but like, it seemed really important.
Really important. And then it was just crazy interesting because I was like, oh, what is happening in Tevinter at the minute? Like, is this always been a thing? Like, people are just arrested in the street for doing...
For doing what? What was happening? Yeah. I needed there
was,
to
like,
be a little...
screaming about like, oh my God, I didn't do anything. Please don't fucking do this. And then all of a sudden demons come out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I need a little bit more from that.
Being a bummer today. Sorry. Then Solas opens... Oh, Dumont Palace is where we need... Where we've been
That's where we need to find Nev, yeah.
Solas opens the veil. Demons start flinging out and flying everywhere.
The ritual has started, but it's not done. But demons are, like, piling out. They're the same demons that we know and love, except they look stupid. But it's okay. yeah. There's something. I'm so sorry for being grumpy, but there's something that's not, I can't quite touch with my finger as to what is up about this, but there's a vibe that feels.
It's just a redesign vibe.
I will probably get used to it. But something about it feels sci-fi to me and not fantasy.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in space.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Dale.
Robin, I want to show off how strong and cool my original characters are, but I simply can't keep throwing my Hero Forge minis at people.
Well, have you heard that Hero Forge has just launched two new types of minifigures? One of them is a color acrylic keychain that's the same size as your Hero Forge standee.
Oh, so I could just like carry it around with me and not throw it at people? Oh, I'm looking right now at their website and they also just launched 100% stainless steel minifigures, so I could totally feel like an old school dork when I'm playing my games.
Ah, and if you throw them, it'll have more impact.
Oh, I'm going to throw them everywhere.
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad. We do not advocate throwing any minifigures.
No, not at all. None.
But we do advocate visiting HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today.
And check back often because new content is added every single week.
You see, looking up from the ground, blood-red clouds boiling across the sky.
You did ask me to bring the thunder.
Dejin! Help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you, and I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitcherton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitcherton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Marovich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
I feel like I'm in space fighting space aliens.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I agree with that.
And something about the score also feels very Marvel Cinematic Universe to me.
Ooh, wow. Oh my god. Tell them to kill themselves. That's a cruel sentence.
I will say it to his face. That's fine, actually.
Bring
back TrevorMorris.com.
Which is a, yeah. So it's like, demons have always looked the same, ultimately. They've been that cool blob thing. You know, they have like the rounded head, and even from fucking Origins.
Well, the Pride Demon is one of my favorite designs, but now he's like, the Pride Demon came out and fought, and the Pride Demon's like fast and zipping around, and like, it's just like, I don't know, it's like warping everywhere, and I was just like, all right, what's going on?
There is clearly shifts. Okay. This game has so much modern game design in it.
Yeah. That it has.
Oh god, I hate. Okay, we've only played like 2 hours of this game. It is modern game design in a way that doesn't feel Dragon Age-y.
Yeah, about Dragon Age is that I need it to be a little shitty.
Origins 2, I mean, you could argue Inquisition, all feel a little bit like underdogs in the fact that they feel like a little janky. But they all, you know, they take writing like first and foremost, where this clearly takes mechanics first and foremost and like gameplay wise.
Interesting.
Because it feels very modern. But yeah, to make it feel modern, you need to shift a lot of how enemies interact and how the world feels, in a way that isn't necessarily for me. I this is a criticism I've heard before, but it's one that I'm already experiencing, where it's like every pickup and everything you find is gold,
about
weapons
that
and items and stuff like that, because that's very old game design. But that is also very Dragon Age.
It is very Dragon Age. Yeah, I was a little disappointed at how little I was picking up, but then again, that was something that frustrated me in the beginning with 2, and I eventually got used to, so I'm not really counting that as a tick against the game. I will say that running around, jumping, and navigating the world and the actual combat on my end feels very good. The monster design feels very to me so far, the way that combat feels and the way that running around navigating the world feels really cool.
It does. You do feel a little bit like God because you have weird God abilities. Like I have this giant stomp that sunders the earth, and I'm level 2. everything is, it feels good to run around and do. Anyway, you find Harding.
Yeah.
Most beautiful woman in the world.
Unbelievably stunning.
Oh my god, I just like them so much. And I was like, oh, they're so pretty. And then I did a choice later where I brought them with me to the Solus ritual, which means that they got all beat up. I look at her being all beat up, and I'm like, you're just the most beautiful person that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I got pretty upset about her getting beat up.
Yeah. But you see them. I had a nice fun moment where a thing which I do like is that your background is just kind of referenced in ambience, which I thought was fun.
Yes.
So, for example, Merrick said, when I was fighting Venatori, they were like, oh, the Grey Wardens ran into Venatori a few years back. And then Varric was like, yep, I was there. And I was like, oh, that's fun. That's cool. That's a fun reference to the fact that it's like, A, you don't super know each other. I have a minor criticism that I'll talk about later about just like how dialogue is, expositional dialogue is a little bit tough for me.
I think we might have the same opinion. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's
did we all read the article about how Netflix is putting out shows and movies where they have to explicitly state everyone's emotions and everyone's actions out loud so that people can consume it without having to turn their brain on or watch the thing? Ooh, I'm pretty annoyed with having pop-ups tell me what characters are feeling or thinking about or what the context of every single moment is. I need that to calm the fuck down. Not because I think that, like, it's not that it just makes me panic about the state of media in general. Like, do we have to do that, really? Is it that bad? Are we in that bad a shape as a society that I need to be told that the characters feel a certain way in a side pop-up, and you can't just write that into dialogue? You can't show me?
I don't mind the side pop-ups as much. I don't mind the side pop-ups. I do appreciate what you're saying. I don't mind the side pop-ups that much. I mean, like, there are bits where, again, okay, there's a bit later on. Okay, you know what? Let me put a pin in this. Because I want to explain some story stuff for the people who aren't playing along with us that are just kind of experiencing this for the first time.
Okay.
And then I can explain it later because it specifically has to do with a story bit that comes up. Solas is doing the ritual.
Yep.
Varric is like, for me, he's like, I have to go speak to him and try to convince him to change. To which Rook is like, you're a fucking idiot. This guy's crazy.
Yeah.
Just kill him.
Just kill him. But then Varric's like, we literally can't. He's a god. I keep telling you that. Like,
does Varric not have a different, like, for you, does he not have a different, like, game plan? Because I thought your Inquisition was like, we kill him. That's the goal. Because Bas is like, no, I'm going to kill him. Whereas Helwyn is like, no, we're going to talk to him.
Yeah, that was our choice. But he's still like, I have to talk to him because he's a god. And like, there's
It's also Varric. Varric.
Yeah, I feel like what that will change is when my Inquisitor shows up, the Inquisitor's attitude towards Solas will probably be
That's interesting because the whole time we have been talking about the fact that we're just going to try to talk him out of it. Like, it was consistently mentioned in our group was like, Varric was like, okay, we get to him and we try to convince him out of it.
That's what we've been talking about too.
I was thinking that would be different.
I thought it might be, but I think all that will affect is when the Inquisitor shows up in this game, the Inquisitor will be like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Versus that's my friend and we need to save him. Like,
yeah,
I think that's what it's going to change.
You fight some demons. Varric goes up and is like, hey, buddy, we have to stop doing this. Then you are like, we can actually stop this ritual by
bringing down one of the pillars that is part of it. So that's when you get a choice to bring either Nev or Harding.
And I brought Harding along because I'm not bringing a wizard along. No. Get out of here.
Yeah. Also, my character seems to know Harding more than Nev. Yeah. So I was like, I'll bring Harding.
You do it. You bring down the statue. Solas freaks out. Varric tries to grab Solas. And then Solas stabs Varric, which is fucking insane.
Wild.
If there was...
first, destroys Bianca.
Oh,
right off the bat. Bianca's done in smithereens.
I saw Bianca like falling down the stairs broken, I was like, oh my god, Varric's going to die.
Yeah.
Like that is as much of Varric as that's like it's such a symbolic. And I was convinced when I saw him get stabbed, I was like, oh my god, I can't believe they're fucking killing Varric.
Which is the first 5 minutes of the game.
It's a thing that I had a theory on. I think they're gonna kill Varric because he is the character of Dragon Age to me is Varric. He's in booking 2 to now, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't want them to. And I was still like, I actually wish that they wouldn't kill Varric because it's Varric and I don't want him to die.
Yeah.
And then, but to have then Solas stab him within the first 5 minutes, which is crazy because the fact that they are like, what is your Inquisition going to do? And I was like, well, the Inquisition is going to save Solas. And then Solas stabs Varric. Helwyn, who romanced Solas, is like, oh, he's going to die.
Oh, he's
going to
die.
Because he is not.
That's not the man I thought
he's
I loved.
Not my Solas. If he's stabbing my best friend, no, he's going to fucking die. Yeah.
He's stabbing one of his best friends. Like, that's also the thing is that Solas and Varric were the first members of the Inquisition, too.
That's true.
You meet other people down the line. It's them and Cassandra. That's the core group.
That's the group
That started the whole thing. So they've been, you know,
choice I think that should have mattered. If Cassandra becomes Lord Seeker.
Absolutely.
I think that should have.
Well, I think that would have been I would have preferred that cluster of responses. Like Cassandra, Vivienne, and Liliana, what do the three of them become at the end? But that to me says that we're not seeing Liliana in this game, which would also be a Dragon Age first.
That would be
a big first
which
to not see her.
We kind of predicted yesterday when we
did.
Said that.
I think is fair. She will be
if they do a DLC, Liliana's going to be in the DLC. There's no way that they're not going to put Liliana in the game at some point
somewhere. Probably
they have to. It's Liliana, but if it's in a DLC, then it's in a DLC. If it's not in the base game, it must be DLC. And it's not going to be in the base game because they didn't ask us what she's doing.
Or her appearance will be so meaningless.
It will be so Marvel Avengers.
It will be so fucking Marvel Avengers.
Evil. I can't reference this series as Marvel. It's going to really bum me out.
Okay.
I have to stop doing that.
Okay.
Okay. Stabs Varric. Crazy.
And then he has the audacity to look sad about it. And I'm like,
oh, it's me or him. He purposely moves the knife and stabs Varric.
Yeah.
Which there is, I guess there is a bit of an argument in the fact that it's like, Solas could have just killed Varric immediately if he wanted to. And clearly he didn't want to. He wanted Varric to get off of him. But it's like,
but Varric was just trying to disarm Solas, not kill him. Like, it wasn't a tussle to fight each other. It was a...
Yeah. And Solas must have known that as well.
Yeah, of course.
But anyway, he stabs Varric. Crazy. Varric falls down the stairs. You are flung back after being like, oh, it's time to kill this man. Then Solas like flings you back easily. You smack your head on the back of a rock. You are dragged out by Nev and Harding.
Yeah. You are running, like, you and Harding are like hobbling away, and Nev is dragging Varric's limp body. Yeah. It's really upsetting, actually.
Yeah,
it's pretty upsetting.
And then you go through an alluvian, or the alluvian that you walked through the first time.
Yeah.
You walk back through it. You pass out, and then Solas is like, hey, he says a thing which I actually am angry about.
About blood magic.
Since when do you abhor blood magic?
We had a whole conversation about that.
You talk about how it's just misunderstood and
it's just another part of magic that is
crazy.
Can be used.
And
he says it with anger.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like a big part of who he is that he's like, no, all magic is good. It's just the way you use it. So him saying I abhor blood magic whilst also using blood magic is like, it's another like, is he an idiot? Which yes, we know he is. But then also, since when do you have this opinion? That's not you. It's weird.
Ugh, don't like it. But what I do like is people contacting each other in the Fade. This was a big thing that like we've known that people can do it. We know that Solas can do it, but I think it's something that and we know that you go to the Fade in your dreams, but we see so little of that throughout the game, except for like in Inquisition when Solas, like if you like when you're friends with Solas and he pulls you into the Fade to take you to Haven to have that chat and maybe to kiss you if you're romancing him. But it's something that we know that people, when you dream, you're in the Fade, like that your dream take place there. and we see very little of it, to the point where my longest fic that I wrote was like almost all of it took place with the Inquisitor, like going to visit Solas in the Fade to try to convince Solas not to do the ritual. That was like the fic that I wrote. So I am really vindicated about that being a part of this. And I think it's going to be a big part of the story. I figure we're going to be exclusively communicating to Solas in the Fade. And I think that that's pretty fucking rad.
Also, the ritual gets stopped. And then these two like kind of eldritch creepy demon people come through with Solas. And then it turns out that they are two.
That's Elgernon and Gilenon.
Yeah. Wait, do you know them from lore?
Yeah. Those are the two elven gods that became corrupted that Solas imprisoned.
Yes.
And they are now back.
Yeah, they like sneak through the, like halfway through the ritual, they are the only two that's able to sneak through. And Solas is like, oh, these guys are really bad and I had a plan to stop them, but then you stopped that.
That's also a little bit of a retcon, because he definitely does say that his like the veil was a mistake and he has to undo it, like, and now he's like, no, my plan was to make the prison super airtight or something like that. And I don't know.
I think it was because he just wants to destroy the veil, but he doesn't want the evil gods back. So I imagine that he was going to bring them through and then permanently kill the evil ones.
Or like imprison them.
Just
or
so
like
that elves I guess get so. Back to the peak that elves were at. Which is fine. Like, that's the thing that I'm like...
Yeah.
I can see him being like, oh, I had a plan to stop this. And even though it's a little like, all right, sure. But it's Solas is a little like, okay, buddy. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of okay, buddy about Solas. Yeah. Like, so it's sure, you totally had that under control, buddy.
Yeah,
giving the orb to Corypheus was going to be fine, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Is he an idiot? Chat?
Hey, chat.
Is this guy
a fucking idiot?
Chat, are we cooked? Yeah. So he speaks to you and is like, hey, so now I'm trapped here. Good job, GG. I had a plan. This was going to be fine. And now these two people who are worse than Solas are out.
More powerful than him and are evil. And he's like, that's your problem now. I'll help you from here, but you're going to have to deal with that.
Which is a little weak, but fine. Generally.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'm into that.
Sure. It's a tiny bit of like one of my pet peeves about stake raising, which is like, oh, you thought this guy was bad. These guys are eviler. And it's like, okay, sure. But the story is about this guy. So we should be trying to stop that guy.
I think the story is that, you know, the story to me, I'm into, because it doesn't seem like everybody keeps saying these guys are worse than Solas. From our perspective as the audience, Solas is like, from my protagonist's perspective, Solas sucks.
Yeah.
I just met the guy and he's trying to destroy the entire world.
Yeah.
From us as a viewer standpoint, he's a little bit more complicated than that. He's still an idiot because he thinks that solving one problem by creating a even bigger, worse problem is going to work. But he's trying to undo a wrong that he did, you know, years ago. And that is an understandable problem. So I think that that's interesting. I think that, and he was trying to save people from these gods. He just did it in such a way that he back then destroyed the world as it was. And now he's kind of doing that again because he's a dumbass.
And he just keeps repeating cycles.
Yeah. So it's great that he's trapped in the Fade and that maybe we can take his knowledge, which is grand, and we can do what we want with it instead of letting him do what the fuck ever, which is great.
And then we wake up in.
And we're where Trespasser, like a good amount of Trespasser takes place.
In the lighthouse?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that's.
Yeah, that like we're in that floating destroyed city that got destroyed when Solas created the veil, that's where we are. Yeah. It's one of the best decisions the game has ever made.
You like that.
I love that. It's because it's one of the coolest settings that they ever designed. That and Arlathan, which we also go to in Trespasser.
Yeah.
And we're hopping between those two places so far. From what I've seen. Sick.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing decision. Great idea.
What I did like about exploring the lighthouse was finding correspondence with Solas from 1,000 years ago.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Being like, so the rebellion is going bad, Solas. When you get back, can you reach out and talk to me because things are tough and shit like that? And I was like, that's pretty neat.
That's fun.
I don't like the fact that there's a giant Dreadwolf statue. Immediately as you leave the lighthouse, I think Rook would wreck the shit out of that and be like, no, I'm not having this man's stupid dog
in my fucking iconography in here.
Get this shit out of here. But which is, that's literally not even a criticism a little bit. It's just a thing. It's just a fun thing that I would do in canon. Destroy that stupid statue.
We explore the lighthouse. I was exploring and I found
Varric's alive, by the way.
Varric's alive. He's hurt bad. And for some reason, I can take a health potion and he can't. so he's... So he's just gotta be hurt.
Whatever. Hey, listen, I've played Final Fantasies my whole life where characters died and it's like, why don't you just use the thing that gets you back alive? I've dealt with it.
Yeah. No. We gotta go with it. It's for the plot. So Varric is sick and sad because Bianca's done. So he can't come with us. I'm exploring. It's so cool, like hopping up on this, like sort of, you know, these weird platforms and like the weird, same as Trespasser, where you're kind of traveling on different planes. And it's cool. Found these statues that had a missive that you needed to make the statues face mm-hmm. each other. And I did. I got all three pairs of statues to face each other. Mm-hmm. And then I heard something and I went, that did something. And I don't know what it did.
I sprinted after the last wisp to find out what it did, and it opens a room.
Is it the music room?
It is the music room.
Oh, okay. So I did go there. That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
So now there's a music room.
Yeah, which is cute.
That's really cute.
You find Harding resting up and freaking out about the fact that
she's really
like,
upset.
I don't know what to do. And I was overly kind, and she didn't like that.
I was sarcastic, and she loved that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Ignore that. Someone's trying to break in because of our hot veil guard takes.
Interesting development. The doorbell's working again, though. Hasn't been working for a couple of weeks.
Oh, I love that. And then Nev is in a study and is studying stuff and is like, oh my God, there's wisps. Wow, Sam is going for it.
It might be something. I'm sorry.
All right, Sam, I'm coming.
It's my best friend in the world. Coolest guy ever. Playing my favorite game with me. Answering my doorbell. What did I do to deserve such kindness in life? Genuinely, I don't know. I love you, Robin. Chat, if you hear this part of the podcast, you have to say something nice about Robin. Tag Captain Krail on all things. Say we love you, Robin. It was nothing? There we go. Oh, damn. I'm supposed to get a book any day now. That's why I was thinking. Oh, well. Oh, well. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Where were we?
So.
The lighthouse, we're walking around. Music room opened up.
Harding is hurt, upset.
And then I was overly kind and she was like upset. Yeah. About that, because she's like, no, I'm fine. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Nev is like, let's get out of here and let's get moving.
Yeah.
So now we know, like, we've got, like, I think we're getting, like, a layout of, like, the companions are going to have, like, their spaces where they're going to be. And
which is kind of neat. I do like that.
I do like that. It's a Nev's beautiful also, home base. It's
when we wild. Meet Nev as well, which we've got to say, is because the whole thing is like, oh, she's been captured by Venatori. And then we see her and she's like, yeah, they thought that they'd captured me. I was just interested to see where they would lead me. But then I saw the veil open in the sky and I was like, oh, fuck's sake, fine.
Oh, yeah. I was like, that was cute. Cool. Yeah, she's fun.
Yeah.
She has the first available flirt option.
She does.
I didn't take it.
No, neither did I. Because she's a mage.
Yeah. I might be, but I want to see a little bit more of the spread.
There's so much to sample from.
Yeah, I want to know what's going on
you
here.
Fill yourself up too much.
Yeah.
Of course. And then you gather everyone in the lighthouse.
This is a cool mechanic I like.
Yeah,
gathering. It's like a war table, but instead of like official business, it's like all of us like sitting down in lounge chairs being like, so what do we fucking do?
This is what I meant when I had the tiny bit of like, okay, exposition can like pack it in a little bit.
Yeah.
We were talking and then I was like, yeah, so Solas appeared to me in a like a thing using blood magic or whatever, and then Nev is like, are you sure it wasn't just a dream? And then Hardin was like, no, Nev, us dwarves don't dream. We don't have a connection to the Fade like other people and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Nev would know this. She's a maid. She lives in the world.
Yeah.
Like, this
is such to a weird be way fair, to be fair, Dragon Age does have a history of doing that. Even when you're a dwarf or an elf sometimes. So that is fine because I didn't get that, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
In fact, I think that the dialogue that I got was like, I don't know, man. Like, Solas is, like we said, a god.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a fun thing that's consistently debated by everyone. It's like, you know, Varric was like, oh, he's an ancient god. And Nev is like, no, he's not. He's a guy. And then it keeps you there. Is so many dialogue options of, do you believe that he's an actual god or do you just believe he's just very strong?
Yeah.
And then Nev is consistently like, I mean, he's not a god though. He's just a guy. He's a guy just a really powerful mage. Cause she apparently doesn't believe that he is a god.
Yeah.
A little bit. But yeah. And then you are like, you ultimately all come to the decision, let's go back to the ritual site and we'll figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Or we'll figure out what our next moves are, because if there are two super devils around, then we have to go and fight those guys.
Yeah. So I think that's like the end of the prologue pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, we did the mission after, which is going through into the forest.
We did. And I think that this is the start of chapter one.
Sure. Yeah, so we're closing it out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So prologue, early thoughts. I have some things feel really cool.
Yeah.
The look of this game is really cool. The city design is excellent. Map design is excellent. The score and the monster design is making me a little sad. little grumpy. And some of the choices story-wise are giving me a little bit of pause, but I also had a lot of these feelings at the start of 2, so I'm trying to
temper them.
Time to percolate. Yeah.
Most of my things are, okay, it's been a decade and we are 2 hours in. Let's just give it some time. There are some bits where I know we talked a lot about how the Inquisitor probably didn't have a lot of like direction when it came to their delivery of lines. I felt that a lot with Harding, weirdly, and also Nev, I guess.
Nev feels like, it's like, what is she talking about?
Yeah. It's just like the pair of their deliveries for me is just like a little off. I just feel like it just feels kind of stilted and weird in a way that I was like,
only in some scenes for Harding. But Nev sounds a little bit.
Yeah. It's just like, it just feels like they were in a separate room and then did like 2 takes and they're like, rather than being like, well, it's the first opening hours. You should nail every one of these.
Yeah.
But
all things considered, I think Nev is very cool.
Nev is very cool. Harding is the coolest person ever.
God, I love Harding so much.
And Rook, Varric, I'm liking so far.
Varric kills it.
He kills it. He's Mr. Dragon Age.
Yeah, exactly. He's unbelievable. 100%. I also do think Rook is outstandingly good.
Yeah, Rook is great.
He really made it when I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel
about
my...
Do you have which Rook voice did you take?
I went...
Male
one and deep.
I have male one and
high.
Light, yeah.
Yeah.
But I liked every single one, and I cannot wait. I know that I will, regardless of how much I or how little I like this game, I will be playing another run to do an Erica Ishii playthrough.
Because I think their
Rook sounds incredible, even just from the little like sound bites I heard.
Yeah.
But I did like, I've got like two femme characters and two mass characters on this run.
Nice.
And now a nice little breakdown.
Yeah, that's good. I'm really excited. I was thinking about it when you go through the portal, it's whoever your Rook is, Harding and Nev. And as I was doing it, I was like, man, I'm excited to go with the boys. I'm excited to find the whole crew and then decide who the boys are.
Like, yeah.
Hey lads, let's fucking go. Let's crack some skulls.
Yeah, I feel like I will. There are going to be some people I'm going to be immediately attached to. Like Harding, I'm very attached to Harding. In this,
and I just love a little flower shirt. I think she's pretty.
She's so cute.
Stupid. Yeah.
They were like, she had freckles in the last game. They were like, let's make them crazy.
Yeah. Amazing. What a decision.
Oh, great choice. Whatever
the character design there was at that time should deserve an Oscar.
Yeah. They did. They had a direct revelation from God and making those freckles pop.
Oh,
like,
my God. Must
nuts.
Be a beautiful person. Stupid.
Amazing. We don't know what our sign off is going to be for this yet. It'll come to us.
Ooh, yeah, but we should have at least a little bit of one. Gosh. I think we have to have a sign-off regardless. We gotta have something. But there's no, like, hard lines that have been
there's said. Not, but until we find one, it could be, let's crack some eggs.
All right, then. All right. Okay. Hey, Veilguard. Our Veilguard.
Our Veilguard.
Thanks so much for listening to our prequel. I'm sure we'll be back tomorrow for us. Or maybe tonight.
Maybe later tonight. Who knows?
Tonight we'll go crazy. But until next time,
let's crack some eggs.
That's fucking perfect, actually.